This is WABF. Time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning to you, Lori. I mean, can you believe how fast this week went?
It's Monday again.
I know, it's Monday again, and I guess we're getting so old. I think that age really does have something to do with it, but we won't have to worry about that today. We're young today, I guess. All right, so look, we had a fast week, and there are a lot of things going on that I want to talk about this morning. Some at the national level, inflation, the border, the absurd foreign policy decisions. But at the state level, there are some things that have taken place that I want you all to know about. We had our Alabama Conservative Coalition meeting this past Saturday up in Clanton, and I want to talk about some of the issues that came out of there and where the ACC is trying to go with some of their policy decisions. So we'll cover that. Lastly, though, I want to look at a local issue that's coming up. On August 30th, we're going to have a property tax increase for education, of course, in Daphne. Now, the Common Sense Campaign has fought against every one of these property tax increases from Fairhope, Spanish Fort, and Robertsdale. We've lost all three. The last one we only lost by 38 votes, okay? But the fact of the matter is, I think that we have a good chance to stop this one, because guess what? Inflation is killing everybody. Why in the world would you want to go ahead and vote yes when you've got inflation at 8.5% in July, although Biden said it was zero. Did you remember that? I mean, this is such garbage that, you know, we hope that people will wake up to the absolute absurdity of doing a property tax increase at this particular juncture where we have inflation running rampant, okay? So, In fact, John Lake, who is going to be our leading voice on this, will be in towards the end of the show to talk a little bit about how we're going to do this. But let's, you know what? I am so tired of having to talk about the Biden issues. Every week it's the same old thing, okay? We've got inflation at 8.5%, not zero, as I just mentioned. Well, I mean, that's not good, obviously. But you know what is not good for us is for gas prices to start coming down. I mean, Lenin had it right. The worse it gets, the better it was for the Bolshevik Revolution. Well, I'm not a Bolshevik, but I'll tell you right now, these communists who want to push all of this radical left stuff have got to be stopped. And if it takes the American public to have to pay for more gas, more food, and all like that to get mad at what's going on, then so, yes, be it. Okay? So be it. We'll deal with that later. The other thing, I mean, my goodness, this border. Every week I've talked about this border business. We now have 2 million illegals who have crossed over, okay? My understanding is probably about 1 million who are getaways. So you're talking about 3 million people, 50-something plus who are terrorists by name that have been caught. So what about all those in the getaway population? Do you think there are a few terrorists in there? You bet you are. But I mean, the incredible aspect of this is the fentanyl that's pouring across the border, run by the cartels. Cartels have their distributors in the sanctuary cities. I mean, this is nuts. And Biden just continues to blithely go along. Look, if for no other reason to get rid of the Democrats in the House and in the Senate to stop Biden, the border is the critical issue. I mean, everything that goes on in our communities, you know, with crime, extra money for medical expenses and for schools, all of that is part and parcel of this border crisis, to say nothing of the criminal aspects of it. So you have this situation where Governor Abbott, who smartly has been sending illegals, about 4,000, to New York, and Eric Adams is squealing. Oh, we can't do this. This is so wrong. New York's a damn Oh, God. A sanctuary city. The hypocrisy level is high, but of course there's hypocrisy in everything the feds are doing anyway. You know, Hillary Clinton gets away with everything with her, you know, laptops and all the classified information that gets bleach washed. And Trump gets a raid on his house in Mar-a-Lago. Okay, enough of that. But my point here is, notice how you have all of these things occurring and the Democrats are responsible for it. One would hope that this would sink into the American public and they would vote these folks out. Now, supposedly the independents are running about 90% opposed to what's going on in all these issues. Let's hope it stays that way. If the independents vote at 90% against the Democrats and the Republicans come out as they should, if they don't stay home, then we should be okay. We shall see. But on top of the stuff we've just mentioned, there's this incredible foreign policy stuff. Now look, foreign policy has never been Biden's forte. Defense Secretary Gates made a point in one of his books that Biden was wrong on every foreign policy issue he's ever made. I've said the same thing to you all. There's nothing new about this. But why is it that when it comes to China, we're not talking just about wrong. We're talking about being compromised because of the business dealings between his family, particularly Hunter Biden, and the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, here again, this is another theme that we've continued to talk about on this show. And I know that you all are understanding it. But somehow, we have got to make sure that everyone gets it, that this is a national security threat because the Chinese want to defeat the Americans, okay? And that's Xi's goal. And when Biden starts saying things like, well, we may remove the tariffs, we're not going to worry about, you know, chasing down Chinese spies, who cares about the Confucius Institutes? It doesn't matter if they're buying up farmland, particularly some farmland next to Minuteman missile silos. It doesn't matter, you know, about anything. Huawei, hey, fine. TikTok, oh, don't worry about it. We better wake up. We better wake up to the Chinese threat. And if that's not bad, and if that doesn't get your blood boiling, then let me ask you this. Why in the world are we still trying to play footsie with the Iranians with this nuke deal? I mean, John Kerry and, I mean, all they swooned over this. This is the best thing since sliced bread. It wasn't when they got it in 2014. It was flawed from the outset. Okay? And again, I've said this enough times, but let me just repeat it, what flawed meant. Okay? There were no Americans who were going to be on the teams that looked at what was going on in stupid Iran. No. Okay? And then even those people who were on the team, there was not going to be any on-site inspection that was just, a surprise inspection. Oh, no. Despite what those Obama national security people came out and said, oh, we are going to have, you know, on-site, unannounced inspections. BS. BS. And if you can't have those kinds of things, then anything they do, oh, we're coming in 3 weeks and we're going to inspect place A. Well, don't you think that these people are smart enough to figure out they have to clean it up just a little bit to fool them some more? So again, we're going down this road where you now have the Iranians having death threats against Pompeo and Bolton. They must have had somebody that kind of got inoculated with all of their hatred of Salman Rushdie, because last week, you know, he was attacked. You know, luckily he survived. But he had a fatwa on him from many years ago. So some young guy, you know, reads history somewhere along the line and gets inflamed about it and said, yeah, I'll go get him. So he did. Didn't kill him, but boy, sure put him in the hospital with numerous cuts and all the rest. So why are we fooling around with these people? I mean, really, the single biggest terror state in the world, who support the Yemeni Houthis. And if the first thing Biden does is pulls our support for the Yemenis who are fighting the Houthis. Okay, folks, I realize it's Monday and I should be a little bit calmer. But when you start looking at all this, you have to wonder, this just isn't Biden's inability to have a foreign policy that makes sense. You know, he's never done well at it before. Why should we think that it's going to get any better? But now, the X factor that has to be considered is he's compromised on business dealings through his family, whether it's China and Ukraine, but the Iranian business makes absolutely no sense, and yet we continue to go down that road. So there we are. I mean, every week it's the same problem, okay? And if we don't talk about it, people have a tendency to kind of get caught up in their daily life 101 issues. So it seems to me that we really need to keep raising these issues to make sure everyone gets it when November comes around. Well, here's another thing that we need to kind of, quote, get. And that's this, some of these state issues that we're having. And I think it's important to understand that the Alabama Conservative Coalition has been in the lead fight to do all sorts of things to rectify problems that we see in the state, okay? Now, I'm not going to go through a laundry list of things that the ACC has done, but let me just kind of focus on what we think we need to accomplish in the next few months, okay? The number one issue for us, and this is on a vote for those who were there, was election integrity. The argument about whether or not Smartomatics, which is what we use, is similar to Dominion. The Dominion software, which is in the same ones that we are in, you know, all of that kind of stuff comes to the fore when you look at 2020. Arguments are here that we need to do a forensic audit. Well, the House tried to pass that bill last year. It got killed in the Senate. Why is that? Okay? Why don't we ask Chris Elliott and Greg Allbritton, what WTF here, folks? That's what this is. Lori's not here monitoring me, so I can say what I want, technically. Well, not quite. All right? But what I'm suggesting to you here is that everyone knows there are issues. And even though Alabama may have been rated A in its election approach, the fact of the matter is there are still issues that are going on. I've mentioned these before. We have Mike Lindell's team, you know, suing us over the machines. We have people like Jason Sly working on canvassing as part and parcel of an analysis of why our rolls are not clean. So when you start looking at all this, election integrity becomes the central starting point for cleaning up the rest of the issues we have. If you don't have elections that you can count on good people being able to win, because again, let's face it, the system was rigged against Trump. And if the problem is along the lines of these various, you know, machines, Dominion or Smartmatic, being penetrated by outside hackers to manipulate the vote, then it seems to me that everything is at stake with us. And so this is the first and most important issue that the ACC is going to be working on, okay? Secondly, we want no indoctrination in the schools, whether it's CRT, 1619, Common Core in general, okay? We want that stopped. Health issues. We almost had, well, we had in the House HB 31, which we supported, and I mentioned this to you last year when it was going through. The fact of the matter is we must have protection from employees being forced to take the shot. okay? Vax mandates have got to end, okay? And we think that, again, we have the public support for this. We just need to get it through the House and the Senate this time around. We certainly want to look at changing how the public health department is run. First of all, we think that Dr. Harris should not be selected by the medical board, okay? He should be part and parcel of an appointment process through the governor so that there is some electoral accountability here. The medical board, you can't even ask them anything about, you know, when are you meeting? Can we talk to you? Anything? No. It's isolated. It needs to end. Make the public health officer part and parcel of the governor's ability to control what goes on there. We also want to make sure that we change the medical agency age. If you're 14 now, you can go and do whatever you want to your body, okay? We think that when you think about it, let's see, how old do you have to be to go buy cigarettes? I think it's 18. How old do you have to be to get liquor? Could be 21. We just passed a bill last year, the VCAP bill, which basically said we're not going to allow medical people to give transgender type drugs to kids under 19. So if we're already moving in that direction, maybe we ought to move in the direction of this question of agency from 14 to 18. That makes a whole lot of sense, okay? So what is going to happen next with this is that we feel that there is a certain momentum that is building up on these particular issues, in part because of some of the speakers that were at our ACC meeting. One critical one is Stephanie Dernan, who has led the Health Freedom group to move the needle on these issues. You can't say enough about what they've done for this. You can't say enough for what some of the other folks who were speaking at our meeting the other day have been involved in so many of these issues, trying to move us forward on Common Core, move us forward on issues pertaining to, you know, this whole question about how we can overcome the Business Council of Alabama's hold on Common Core and keeping it in play. So, I mean, when you start thinking about moving along these lines, a critical component to that happens to be who you are electing. Okay, so that kind of takes us right back to this whole question of election integrity, but it also means in finding really good candidates. Well, we had one such individual come to our meeting on Saturday. His name is Ben Harrison from Limestone County. I mean, here is an individual who fits the conservative model. And I think that when you start thinking about finding candidates and getting them to where you can, you know, get them in the ballpark and actually help them win. And we've had a couple of candidates down here that almost won, and we did have a couple of candidates who did win. So my point being is that the ACC and its attempts to try to bring together what is going on is an important facet of trying to deal with the issues, okay? Now, here's one of the things that I think it's extremely important that we really look carefully at this critical issue of a write-in initiative, because our argument here is that this process that we have, that from the primary to the runoff, was flawed, okay? And the flaw really starts with the Republican Party, because Katie Britt should never have been allowed to run as a Republican. And you say, oh, how can you say that? It's pretty simple. she and Shelby, who was her boss in 2017, engineered what? A coup against Judge Moore, okay? They called for write-in votes. Called for write-in votes against Moore. Shelby's on TV saying it. Ran TV ads because Mitch McConnell and the Senate, you know, senators, oh, they couldn't have Judge Moore, a Christian conservative. Heaven forbid. So that's what they did. They destroyed Moore. They got 22,000 write-in votes, and Moore lost by 21,000. Think about it. The Republican Party rules do not allow for such things to happen. They've denied ballot access to any number of people over the years for things along those lines. So think about what it means that you now have Katie Britt, who was tied to Shelby. And again, you know, I said some of these things during the runoff. In fact, we ran ads on Lanyap that said all of these things, okay? There's no disputing the facts. What is in question is why the Republican Party in June, when a lot of this information finally came to, you know, a head, why did their select committee let Katie Britt by two votes stay on the ballot? Okay? Short answer to that is Shelby and his power and his friends in the BCA did not want anything to change. They didn't want Mo Brooks. And so there you have it. So our plan here is to move the dial. We are going to have a write-in initiative. We've got donors who are going to provide money for radio ads. We are going to have radio ads throughout the state. We're going to go forward with this. Now, here's the dilemma. To a very large degree, you know, we also want to make sure that the Senate is held by the Republicans. Despite their squishiness and despite how they sold us out in 2014 when we gave them back the Senate and they did nothing to stop Obama, the real question is, are they going to be able to find the, I won't say it, but the courage to do what's right this time? They might just do it this time, because even though Obama was moving the country along the rails of fundamental change, that fundamental change had an underground approach to it that did not manifest itself like what you see today. The border open, inflation at 8.5%, communists in essentially every aspect of what their policy making is in critical places in the Department of Justice. You know, complete corruption in the FBI when you see all of those FBI honchos who were involved in the wonderful, you know, Russia hoax. None of them have gone away, okay? So if you think that the country is not on the precipice of moving in the wrong direction, you better think twice. So here again, we get back to this whole question about why it's important for us to do what we're doing and making sure that people like Mo Brooks and others, and Tim James is another write-in person that we're going to do, along with Robin Leidecker and Brent Woodall. Both of those two were running in the Public Service Commission. They are reformers. They were smeared as tree huggers and all the rest of it. Alabama Power doesn't want to have anyone question what they do. We have been pushing for years to put them under oath and come before a commission hearing and tell us what they really are doing with the profits they're making. Why do they have to have the rates they demand? Okay? It's not too hard to follow. Well, so, I mean, that's where we're going with this. And I think it's critical that we make this effort on this writing initiative. Again, it would be nice to think that the Republicans will have enough of a cushion in the state races, Senate, the Senate races throughout other states. I don't know if that's the case. I recognize that we need to take back the Senate, but we also need to have senators who understand what's going on. Katie Britt doesn't understand anything other than what her bosses tell her to say, and we're not going to put up with it. The Republican Party should have kicked her off the ballot, and we are going to try to find a way to make that happen, that disqualification. We are going to be working on it, okay? Now, as I mentioned to you, we do have a local election coming up, and as such, Common Sense Campaign, as I mentioned, has fought against these things forever. There's no question about it. I mean, we beat the school board attempting to impose a $350 million tax, you know, in 2015. We beat them 70-30 on that. As I've mentioned to you, we have subsequently lost in Spanish Fort. I think we lost 52-48. We lost in Fairhope, a little bit bigger spread. We lost by 38 votes in Robertsdale. But my friends, I've got John Lake sitting here right here. John, thank you for coming in this morning.
Sorry I'm a little late.
That's okay. Lori might be, you know, willing to give us a few extra minutes here. Okay. So, John, you and I have talked about this. I mentioned earlier when I was introducing what we're going to be talking about today, we've got this tax increase on August 30th. Give me a couple of reasons why we should say no to them.
I think the most important thing is why are they trying to hide it from us? Why are they not doing it in November during the November general election when they don't have to pay extra to have a total new vote? You're talking about, you know, 10 to 15,000. I don't know how much it costs, but it's probably around that much to do this special election when they could hold it in November and it wouldn't cost nothing. You know, why are they doing that? Because they don't want people to know about it. Has anybody heard about this tax? No one's heard about it.
Absolutely not. I found out about it online. We had heard rumors of it. It said that what I saw, I read about it, was the 30th of August had been moved to sometime in September to be announced. So, I mean, here we are. They are trying to sneak it under. And, you know, I asked you if you had any contacts in the school system to see if they're sending messages out to the parents. Did you find that out?
I haven't heard of any. I haven't heard of any messages. You know, you figure that with the school system having almost $500 million worth of revenue, that more than likely they think that they can get this passed with just their employees.
Well, I think that that's true, and there's no question about that. So sneaking it in under the radar, so to speak, and here we are. But guess what, folks? It's not under the radar. We are going to run ads against it with John Lake as our voice of opposition. And I do think that, you know, we have lots of vote no signs left over. I'm going to give John a bunch today so we can start putting them out. They are not going to just run roughshod over us. So, John, I mean, you spent years on the city council. What is your sense of whether or not we're going to prevail in this?
You know, since I haven't heard anything about it, the last time I heard was at the council meeting when the council, they made a quick announcement of it. If it's who gets the votes out. You know, it's the people who get the day of the vote.
Yeah.
You know, so many elections have been won and lost because people either were mad and voted against something or mad and voted for something.
Yeah.
And I think that on this thing here, it's going to be who is the maddest and who is the most infuriated. I think that in these economic times, with the inflation the way it is and the budgets of families being stressed like they are, I think people are going to be having an attitude of, I can't afford anymore.
Yeah, it should be not only no, but hell no.
I agree.
You know, and I think that you've plugged into exactly the right theme that we have to stress in our ads and when we start talking to people. So, John, I really appreciate your coming on. I mean, I know this is kind of, you know, shortened, but I do think that I appreciate Lori giving us a few extra minutes here. But we're with you, And we're going to make sure that we get as many people out to vote as possible. So thank you for coming on, and thank you for being the voice of opposition.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Laurie, another fast 30 minutes, no question about it. So next week we'll be back on the 29th. This special election is going to be on the 30th. I would ask all of you to look very carefully about if you're living in Daphne, if you're in that district, then you need to be thinking carefully about why it is so important that you defeat this. It is the school board's responsibility to provide the money. They have the money. It's always been that case. This idea that they need more money for all this plus-ups around the schools is a BS argument. They have $500 million. They need to do a better job with it. And so, Laurie, I'll see you next week. Y'all take care. I don't want to get off the air today. I really don't. But
you're actually on time today.
Oh, my God.
So you actually have a couple of extra minutes if you want.
A couple of extra minutes.
I would like to say that I found an article published Friday on the 19th about this vote. First time I heard of it was when you told me, and I do the news.
Right.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah. Well, that goes back to what John said. They're trying to hide this. They want to just sneak it in.
I've shared the article from WPMI on our Facebook page, and you be sure and share it around too. For the August 30th election date, $3 million increase for those in the Daphne High School feeder pattern.
Okay. All right. Well, John, there you have it. I mean, it's official. If Laurie's giving it and she's posting it, it must be happening. All right, folks. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and kind of get close to my normal time. So, but I do appreciate you giving us a little bit of extra time with it. All right, folks. Take care. Have a good week. Bye.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi of the Common Sense Campaign, an adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on Highway 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. If you missed part of this program and you want to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABF1480.com.